Andy Bratt, welcome to Around Cincinnati. We're really looking forward to your performance at Motor Pub on June 5. Hey, man, nice record, Horizon Thank Disrupted. You. Your buddy Matt Holt is here with us this evening as well.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, man, let's take it from the top here. I listened to this record, and I have to tell you, all kinds of things came to my mind, first of which, the string quartet arrangements on this recording, Horizon Disrupted, are out of this world.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you want to tell us a little bit about why the use of a string quartet, your approach to composing for the string quartet?
So I started writing these songs about 5 years ago, and then I just really got interested in just string quartet music. I was listening to the Ravel string quartet, which is really just, it's one side of an LP. I think it's like four pieces, and they're just these beautiful recordings. So I really got into those. I listened to some of the Beethoven string quartets, and then I was also just listening to a lot of songwriter music which featured string quartets or just orchestras as well, such as this great Kenny Rankin album from the late 70s, which is actually called The Kenny Rankin Album. And yeah, that was a lot of inspiration. And then I also just love the old Frank Sinatra and strings records. So that was a lot of my inspiration. And I'd say I started writing those quartet arrangements about 3-4 years ago. And I mean, it was hard at first because I didn't really know what I was doing. The first one took a long time, and then the next few, it was faster. It started moving a lot faster.
Yeah, your bassist, Matt Holt, here with us in the studio this evening, had a great way of describing the sound of this record.
Actually, I don't think I've told this description to Andy yet, so he's hearing this for the first time. But when people ask me what the record's like, I tell him it's kind of like if Chet Baker recorded a Tom Waits cover album. You know, that's kind of the sound. It's funny you're talking about the string arrangements because Andy and I have a lot of common influence. But one thing we don't have in common is I'm actually not a big fan of those old 50s with strings records. I love Frank Sinatra and I love a lot of his artists, but the with string albums are usually my least favorite ones. So when Andy told me he was recording an album with string quartet, I was like, oh man, this could be bad. But then when he actually got it to me, I listened to it, I was like, oh, yeah, this is not what I was thinking it was. This is really good. So, you know, I don't want to say he converted me to a with strings album, but if all with strings albums sounded like this, I would be a much bigger fan.
And Andy, you make a great point. It is reminiscent of Ravel. I mean, when I heard it, I thought of like the French Impressionist composers, you know? So, man, I love the string quartet stuff. Also, it seems, again, Matt was able to articulate some of the stuff that I was thinking about this record, and, you know, maybe a little bit of a Rat Pack, obvious 50s kind of influence. What do you think?
Yeah, I love Sinatra, Dean Martin, all those guys. Yeah, there definitely is that jazz angle to it, and that's my background. So that makes sense. I mean, I think of the record as the songwriter record with jazz influences instead of being like a jazz record. There are some tracks on there that you could be like, oh, this is a jazz song. But I think it's more like a song album.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it's cool that you put it that way because going in, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this guy plays jazz guitar and sings, and it sounds a little different. And I think you just really encapsulated the sound. It's a more of a singer-songwriter approach with some jazzy elements.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I also noticed, and I love this, is that the really legendary engineer and producer, Steve Albini, worked with you on this record. And, of course, Steve has worked with people like Nirvana, the Pixies and PJ Harvey. So how did you and Steve Albini cross paths to work on this project?
I emailed him in his studio of electrical audio, and I told him about the project, like, hey, I want to go in and record this record. I got a string quartet on board, and he was interested in doing it. So I guess I just got lucky, and it was great working with him. We were in the studio for 4 days, and it was really like 2 days of tracking and then 2 days of mixing the record. And then by the end of the 4 days, I had a fully like mixed album. And so then I obviously just had to take care of the mastering and the artwork and everything. But it was incredible. He really just knows exactly what he wants and just works really fast. And it was great. We got along awesome, and I would definitely do it again.
If I can throw in real quick here, I think one of the reasons that probably Steve Albini wanted to work on this project is the process that Andy took, which I know as somebody who used to want to be a recording engineer, it's the ideal thing, which is you take great musicians doing their thing and you just document it, basically. And there's so much recording now that's done bit by bit and you kind of piece it together. But most of this record was cut live with all the musicians in the room, or the vast majority of the musicians right in the room. And correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, but it was recorded to analog tape. So this is a really, I think that's part of the old school sound you're talking about. This is a really old school done record. And I think that appeals to a lot of recording engineers, especially like someone like Steve Albini, the idea that, you know, you're not trying to piece together something. You're taking like a finished product and just trying to make it sound as good as it can.
Yeah, we recorded to tape, and for the few edits that he had to do, it was funny. I was taking the razor blade to the tape.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, Steve doesn't get to do as much of that as he used to, and he probably, you know.
He's glad for it.
Yeah, probably he's glad for it. So I bet that had something to do with it. It's just that kind of project probably really appealed to him.
You know, and Matt brought in a copy of the vinyl LP, and it is really nice to hold an LP in my hand, and you know, can't wait to hear it on my turntable. So you've got an interesting vocal approach, brother. Why don't you tell us about your approach to vocals and the sound of your voice?
I've been working with it for a while. To tell you the truth, I've really only been singing for about 10 years. I sung a little bit back when Matt and I were playing in college like 15 years ago, but I didn't start like taking it seriously until about 9 years ago, something like that. And I don't know, it's really hard to kind of find your own voice. Yeah, I think it takes a long time, and I still feel like I'm searching. But I like to sing with my own voice, and then I like to kind of create some effects too, like sometimes create a growl or a raspy sound. And I've been kind of working with that. I don't do that for every song. Some songs I like to just sing with more with just my pure voice. Sometimes I like to do more of a spoken word, you know, speaking type of voice. So it changes, and I find that, yeah, I'm working on it all the time.
Right. The record overall has a understated quality to it. You know, the guitar isn't manic, the rhythm section isn't flailing away. Everything is there in the pocket and in the groove, and, you know, harmonically supporting your voice. And then with the string quartet is like the really evocative, emotional overcoat, so to speak. And you're right about your voice. Sometimes it's almost like a speak sung and a little bit of that kind of gravelly thing. It's like, wow, this is different. And man, I tell you, that track, Rocket Ship, She's Gotten Into My Dreams, and the title track, Horizon Disrupted, really kind of moved me in a way, but in a strange kind of way. I don't know if that makes any sense, but the subject matter of your songs is sometimes very plain and not really a lot of curly Q stuff around it. You want to talk to us about that?
So I like to write a lot about lost love, relationships. Horizon Disrupted, that track is about the fact I live in Chicago, and for a few years I was living right by Lake Michigan, like a block away, and I remember it always kind of being a bummer that you couldn't see the sunset on Lake Michigan from the Chicago shore. So that song is about how you really don't get a great sunset in Chicago because there's all these buildings blocking everything. So yeah, my songs are about kind of a longing for something else and love, relationships, those kinds of things. So.
Yeah, the lyrics didn't quite hit me as, say, Tin Pan Alley or the Great American Songbook style of lyrics. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. I love that stuff. And I'd say that's most of what my training is in. Most nights of the week, I'm out playing in Chicago and playing Cole Porter songs, George Gershwin, Duke Ellington. So that's definitely my home base, the Great American Songbook. And I do take a lot of inspiration from that. But yeah, I guess it doesn't end up sounding like that. And that's good if it's different.
All right, brother. We want to thank you, Andy Pratt, for hanging out with us this evening, as well as bassist Matt Holt. Andy Pratt will be performing the album Horizon Disrupted at Motor Pub on Monday, June 5 on Main Street in Over the Rhine. Andy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Ron.
And Matt, thanks for being with us as well.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
Okay. We've been in conversation with singer, songwriter, jazz guitarist Andy Pratt talking about his latest release, Horizon Disrupted. More information about Andy Pratt can be found on our website, wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ron Esposito.
Will you be the one?